Welcome to the Kanakuk Podcast. We hope you'll be encouraged to have an I'm Third approach as you navigate marriage, family, leadership, and spiritual growth. If you're new to our conversation, welcome. It's so great to have you. Let's jump in. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Kanakuk Podcast. I am Rachel Sparks next to my good friend, Joe White, and we could not be more excited for today's guest. Joe, who do we get to talk to today?
Rachel, I'm excited too because we've got one of the most fun human beings I've ever met in my life. His laugh is the most contagious laugh anywhere around
Candyland
and anywhere around anywhere, probably. Adam Martin loves to have fun. He is one of the most well-rounded guys I've ever met, by the way. He's very smart. He's a very good athlete. And he's just a blast. He's also a good manager. He's a good dad. He raises great kids. He's married well. He's great with his wife. And he is a fighting Texas Aggie.
Gig him.
And he's also my neighbor.
Hey.
Oh.
As of June of this year.
That's right.
Yeah. Adam Martin and Colin and Rachel Sparks live up in the woods near camp. They've got this big farm up there. They raise wild deer and wild turkey and ducks and dove. And wow, how coincidental, Adam. You're a hunter, by the way.
Yeah. It's a fun dream for my boys. They're loving it up there for sure.
What amazing coincidence. So for 9 summers, Rachel, Adam was the program director at K Colorado, Kivu, the Colorado camp, and then 10 years he was the director at Kauai, the family camp, and everybody loved him at the family camp. And then 8 years he ran around the country with me, and we did, I don't know, a few hundred college events. And we called it After Dark, where we would build a cross, and we got to lead tens of thousands of college students to Christ. It was so fun. And then for 11 years, he was on campus as the director of Link Year, where we took high school graduates and kept them here for a year and trained them in getting ready for college and leadership skills and stuff like that. I could go on and on about Adam. He's got 3 children. Trent's 13. Truett is 10. Tess is 5. And, you know, Adam's an Aggie, TAMU, right? Aggie, Texas A&M University. Mm-hmm. And all 3 of his kids have initials TAM.
That's right.
Is that silly or what?
Well, the Lord gave us the M is the Martin. My last name is Martin.
Okay, you had that one right.
So we had that one. And it's actually quite it started with Trent. So Trent is my wife's grandfather's, my wife's father's middle name. Arthur is my dad's middle name. So Trent Arthur Martin, T-A-M,
okay,
was kind of, he's just carrying both of his grandfather's middle names. And we loved that it was T-A-M for Texas A&M.
Interesting.
And so we kept that theme going for Truett Abbott Martin. Abbott is the, you know, Josh Abbott saying She's Like Texas was the first song my wife and I danced to the night I met her when we met on the dance floor. We met a dance floor in Texas.
No.
Yeah.
You met her on a dance floor.
And the singer was Josh Abbott that night. So anyway, so that's where Abbott came from, Truett. We love Chick-fil-A. I mean, Truett Cathy, there you go. And then Tess Ann. Ann is my wife's middle name, my mother-in-law's first name. And so there's lots of Anns in the family.
Amazing.
And if you say Tess Ann Martin, Tess Ann M, Tess, like if you say your name fast enough, it's almost like you're saying Tess Ann M. Tess Ann M. Texas A&M.
I told you Adam was a character he liked to have fun.
Word.
So even in the children's name.
It's thick.
Hey, you outmarried yourself a little bit.
A lot of it. Yeah, Caitlin and I have been married for 14 years. Met that young lady on the dance hall floor back in
dancing.
Texas. And it's kind of fun. We actually teach dance lessons now here in Branson.
You do? You're kind of famous for that.
Well, I don't know about famous, but we have a lot of fun. There's a lot of people that come out to Sycamore Creek and join us out there for some two-stepping, and we have a good time.
Rachel, what a day we're going to have, huh?
Oh, we love having you guys as neighbors. My kids love your kids. We feel really privileged to actually get to be just right down the hill from you guys and watch you guys parent, watch your kids grow up. It's honestly like living out a dream that we have dreamed about for a really long time. And even that's another story for another day, but
how it all came together.
We're super thankful, but feel privileged to get to watch you guys from a ministry standpoint and how well you guys led within Kanakuk, After Dark, Link Year, all of that. And then even just personally, as you guys get to do your marriage well and parent those three incredible, incredible kids.
What have your days around Kanakuk land been like, Adam?
You know, it all started with being out in Colorado. So that's where my journey started, was the 9 years out in Colorado. And I can honestly say I will never have more fun in a summer than those 9 summers. Back in the early 2000s, it was 2003 all the way through like 2011. It was the best 3 months of my life over and over and over and over. And I would have continued to do that forever. I loved it so much. Getting to be out there and rock climb and mountain bike and fly fish and then point kids to Jesus in God's creation out there. I mean, it was unbelievable. Had so much fun. Then when we got married, the opportunity opened up for us to just kind of stay in one place and be here in Branson. Cause at the time I was working full time for Kanakuk and, had the opportunity to work full time, still at Kanakuk and then stay here in the summer for the family camp. And that was a really, really fun place to be as we are beginning a family. I learned so much observing parents like, hey, that is awesome. I love the way they did that. And then also observing some parents like, I don't want to do it that way. You know, you kind of learn both ways. Like, exactly. This is what I want to do. That's not what I want to do as a dad, you know? And, so anyway, I loved getting the 10 summers there at the family camp. And then, Joe, man, the amount of memories that we have across this country, literally between California and Florida and everywhere in between, seeing you build that cross and thousands of kids giving their life to Christ and getting to be a part of that. I cannot ever say enough how fond I hold those years. I mean, in my office today, I have so many little trinkets from different After Darks that we did around the country. And just those memories that it brings me back to. I mean, there's so many memories that we have from those days. And then the opportunity to do Link Year, that was my most recent kind of deal with full-time with camp. And I mean, I think I have Link Year students still at my house 3 or 4 nights a week. You know, I had the opportunity to marry one of them from a couple of years ago this past September. I have two of them working for me full-time now. You know, that will be a part of my journey and story for many years to come, as the relationships that were built at Link Year. I mean, I was over there today having lunch with a young man that asked me to come over, and he had some questions, and I was like, I'd love to. Yeah, I'm in. So very, very thankful for the opportunities over the years that Kanakuk has. I mean, it has made me such a better husband, better father. Just getting to rub shoulders with the men in this place it's been life-changing. So very thankful.
So are we.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, we want to hear more about that, Adam. Take us into a little bit of just how you do parent and family values that you've really centered how you raise those three kids.
Well, I think the first thing that I need to say is, you know, I think a lot of times when you're doing, you know, anybody's talking about parenting and they give all their highlights of this is how I do it. And this is the way to do it. You know, I think it can very easily come across as, wow, that guy is a perfect parent. And I need to say, I'm far from that. Caitlin and I still are learning. We still have a long way to go. I apologize to my kids daily, of like, hey, sorry, your dad lost his temper. That is not the way I want to do that. Like constantly coming to them, doing my best to humble myself and say, hey, I screwed up, you know, and hopefully, prayerfully, that teaches them that they don't have to be perfect, right? And then, but again, one of the things that I loved about working for Kanakuk for so long, especially my journey with Link Year, right? I was in charge of discipline for all those years. And so I would take these kids that would be there and, you know, they're 18, 19 years old and they're not perfect and they're making some very, you know, silly mistakes and getting to walk alongside them. And so trying my best to improve as a leader and reading books and all this material that I'm trying to do as a leader is very
you know, coincidentally making me a much better parent. You know, I literally, my students would tell me all the time, like, your kids are going to have no chance, you know, when it comes to making all these dumb mistakes, because you've seen it all at this point, you know, like all the stuff that you've had to deal with, like your poor kids aren't going to have any chance to pull the wool over your eyes, you know, and I, you know, I just laugh at that. But more than anything, you know, just kind of learning if I were to take a theme, it's just the consistency and then, I would say intentionality, right? That my wife and I are doing our best to be consistent and then also intentional, that we're just not kind of run-of-the-mill trying to figure it out as we go. But several years ago, which challenged by the director of Link here, good friend of mine, Adam Donye, what are you shooting at? What are you aiming at? Like, what are you intentionally doing as a parent? So wife and I spent quite a bit of time coming up with our family values, right? And so similar to Link Year, I kind of stole this from Link Year. After our very first year of Link Year, we're like, hey, that was a great year. We really felt like there was a lot of valuable things that we did, but what are the things we wanted the students to take away at the end of this year? Right. And then so we came up with these seven pillars. What are the seven pillars of Link Year? What are the things that we're going to hold on to and constantly point back to throughout the whole year to give everybody the same language and the same? It's just that intentionality. This is what we're trying to hit home with you guys. So when you graduate, like, yeah, I have these tools in my tool belt, these seven pillars, if you will. Right. So what are the seven pillars of the Martins?
Talk about them, Adam.
Yeah. So
and talk about them to any parent that's listening or any manager of anything this listening. Talk about those pillars and how you apply them.
Well, so we were intentional in trying to tie them to our family specifically. And I think they kind of translate to really anybody, but our last name is Martin. So you add an S on that, Martins as a family, and there's seven letters there. So that was more of a me push to, I mean, some of these are going to be a little bit of a stretch, I guess, just because we wanted to match it. So it's easier for our kids
to remember
the M-A-R. So making memories is one of our seven pillars as the M of Martins, making memories. Martins will live, travel, serve, go on adventures, rest, hunt, fish, camp, ski, RV, vacation, and work together in order to build lifelong memories as a family. We will be a family of memories over materials. And then Ecclesiastes 3:1-8 was the scripture that we paired with that, and we'll read that. So as a family, we sit down and we talk about these. We understand the scripture behind it, but we wanted to be very specific. I didn't want to leave it broad. So you'll see on there, like, hunting and fishing is very specific to our family. I want to train my boys to do those things, right? To fall in love with the outdoors. You know, RV was something my dad did with us as a family. And I loved that growing up, is traveling the country, seeing the Yellowstone and Grand Canyon. And literally we went to Disney World all in this RV. And all the time we get together as a family, we talk about the times the RV broke down and it lit on fire. And we've already had all of those memories together as a family in our RV, you know, with my kids when it's broken down and literally lit on fire this Christmas. Like there's been some crazy stories, and it's creating these memories that we have as a family.
You know, Rachel, hitchhiking on what Adam's saying, I read a pretty thick magazine one time about the science of happiness. Mm-hmm. And this secular publication had gone all over the world, and they had discerned just from people of all ages what makes certain people happy. Interesting, huh? Hmm. And one of them was that. They said that giving gifts don't make people happy. And, you know, Christmas and different, you know, birthdays, we're just piling on gifts. Mm-hmm. And they said, that makes people happy. Mm-hmm. But doing things together as gifts make people happy.
Yeah, amen.
So, Adam?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why your family, for all of us outsiders looking in, is really a happy family.
Well, and I think that directly correlates to camp as well. Like, all the closest relationships in my life over the years have been these camp relationships, because we're making those memories together.
Yeah.
Rock climbing, backpacking, fly fishing, river rafting, you know, canoeing, football, and like all of those memories that you're creating at camp absolutely play into the depth of relationships with those individuals in the summer.
Rachel, you've also, by the way, got a really happy family. How does that apply to your family, making memories together? Have y'all found that true?
Oh, absolutely. because you can ask a kiddo a year later what they got for Christmas, and so often they can't even tell you. Yeah. But you ask them about that vacation, you ask them about that time you took them out for ice cream or a cup of coffee, or that time that even in the bad situations, mm-hmm. like Adam's talking about, that the car broke down or whatever it is, they remember, and that sticks with them to such a deep degree because you're doing it together as a family. And I would also gauge that throughout those opportunities, you get to build relationships, you get to have special talks, you get to have those experiences together that just bond your heart so tightly, and kids never forget.
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you all, you know, I'm a very venturesome person as well and loved doing fun things together with my family. And my wife called it forced family fun. I dream of all these adventures. They go, Dad, because we had to do those together. And so they go, forced family fun. And then, like you said, everybody would end up, you know, yay, it was so much fun together after all.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, tell us the next one.
So A is appreciation, right? Martins will be thankful and grateful when things are great and when things we're going through hard times. Martins will be intentional to show appreciation to those who serve us in the smallest of ways. You know, I just think that gratefulness is another way, another key, in my opinion, to happiness. You know, it says in 1 Thessalonians that it is the will of the Lord for us to be grateful. And so I just think that's so important for us as a family to operate in appreciation, thankfulness, gratefulness. Mm-hmm. The R for us is reconciliation. Right? No one's perfect. So Martins will commit to living in the continual ethic of confession, which leads to repentance, which leads to reconciliation. This applies to our relationship with the Lord and those who the Lord puts in our lives. We're not perfect. We need to apologize. And I hope, again, as a parent, that's one thing that I exemplify to my kids. When I lose my temper, not if, but when, mm-hmm. right? And when I say something I shouldn't, and when I react in a way like, guys, I'm sorry. Like, let me make this right. What do I need to do? I'm going to commit to not doing it that way again.
I love it, Adam, that you talked about humbling yourself before your children and apologizing when you had a bad attitude or you made a mistake.
Yeah, amen.
I love that.
Modeling that for them.
Well, you know, I get plenty of opportunities to apologize. I guarantee it. This is another one. So T for us is table time. Martins will eat dinner together as a family around the table without technology as often as our schedule allows. We will prioritize this time to reconnect, laugh, tell stories, talk, play games, and what we have learned and are thankful for that day. This has been pretty fun. So, you know, still to this day, when we have guests over and we're sitting around the table, like my boys or even Tess, like, hey, and they'll just ask the question, what's one thing you learned and what's one thing you're thankful for, right? Because it's just so common for us to ask each other that question at the dinner table. What's one thing you learned and what's one thing you're thankful for? Mm. I actually learned that from a rock climbing guide in Colorado. We were on our way back from a trip, and he had every day, he asked the bus, our van, that question. Guys, what's one thing you learned and what's one thing you're thankful for? And so I just thought that, you know, because a lot of people do the high lows. What was your high? What was mm-hmm. your low? I just love the intentionality of, you know, what did you learn? What are you thankful for? So,
and you had a without. You said without something, without what
technology,
would y'all
not learn? Mm-hmm. We put our
say that again.
Phones down. No, my wife phones. Loves that rule.
Huh.
Without technology.
How do you keep technology from dominating your family?
Well, I mean, again, at our age, 10, 13, none of them have cell phones. So none of our kids are walking around with cell phones. So I'm not fighting that battle yet. I'm sure that will be a battle that I get to fight one day. But, you know, for us, video games are only allowed on the weekends. And so they can play those Saturday morning. That's really just a, you know, secret ploy for my wife and I to get a chance to sleep in a little bit. So, so there's really not a lot of technology in our home that we're having to fight against right now. I'm sure once our kids get older and they're carrying those devices, really the fight is just for me, my wife, and our intentionality to put the phone down during dinner, mm-hmm. right? Because again, inevitably at dinner, someone will say something like, oh, let me look that up, or oh, I need to put that on our schedule, or oh, like, because we're talking about practicality. And so, you know, again, we're not perfect at it. The phone does get picked up.
But you're modeling that now and setting the standard for that. So even when they do get phones, that's just, they're going to step into that as mm-hmm. already the standard that you've laid down.
And video games only on Saturday morning.
That, yes,
man,
that is.
You are starting it off right.
Well, and it's fun too, because again, we have a lot of guests over pretty frequently. And so I will make that comment to our guests. Hey, no phones at the dinner table. Like my kids will hear me say that to even the people that we invite over to dinner. So they know it won't be a surprise to them once they do get phones that those are not allowed at the dinner table.
Mm, that's good for you.
And my 5-year-old is very quick to remind me when I have my phone at the dinner table. Daddy, no phones at the dinner table. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It's going away. So sorry.
Yep. You're doing
I'm
what
being
you
held
would,
accountable. Yeah.
That's right.
I love it.
That's right. That's
table
good.
Time. I love that. We're hanging on the edge of our seat to get the next one. That's a good one, baby.
So I is integrity. Martins will be honest and work hard even when no one is watching. We don't expect to be perfect, but admit when we are wrong or mess up. We strive for unity in our family, and we have each other's back. So integrity is really important for us as a family. N is navigate. This is the one that I felt like was a little bit of a stretch, right? Martins will point each other to our true north, to be anchored in Jesus Christ, and to allow his word to drive the direction of our family. We are to learn from him. We are to learn from him, to pray to him, to follow him, and continue to develop a personal relationship and a dynamic, desperate dependence on him. So that one obviously is a pretty important one. We talk about that all the time. I pray together with our kids, you know, every evening as they're going to bed. And so, you know, washing scripture over them continually at nighttime is just so important, you know, in our family. And so navigate, that word navigate is what I kind of came up with to kind of point our kiddos to the true north, which is Jesus.
Adam, what do you mean washing scripture over them at night? What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So, I mean, when they were really little, we did the kid Bible.
The
Jesus Storybook Bible. Yeah, thank you. We actually even did that with Linkier students because it does such a good job pointing the Old Testament stories
back to Jesus.
Back to Jesus. Yes. Yep. So I did that with all of our kids and just constantly, you know, and we're very blessed that they get to go to such a great school. And so we practice their Bible verses that they have to recite for school. And so it's been fun to kind of partner with the school the kiddos go to. And then also, you know, when they're younger, my daughter Tess, you know, getting to read the Jesus Storybook Bible with her and her loving it and getting that intentionality every night.
And as they outgrow the children's Bible, how do you continue to put scripture into their life? Is that?
Yeah. So, I mean, for us, again, like I said, it's I don't want it to always just be a homework assignment because I do love and appreciate that they every single week have scripture memory, and then we get to recite that with them and the scripture memory that is due that week.
Fantastic.
But it's, you know, for me, it's really, really special. You know, the intention of my oldest now that he is waking up early in the mornings and spending time in God's word or staying up late. Like the last book he reads at night is not, you know, some, you know, dog man book, you know, which he used to just absolutely love, but he is spending time in God's word. And he mainly picked that up after his time with camp this summer. So after camp is when he really began to make scripture reading his own in his free time, which is really, really cool. So
how satisfying that must be for you to see him do that.
Yeah. Life. Yeah. Amen. And he's going through Ephesians right now with his K-Life Bible study. And so getting to talk about that with them or him, I guess, specifically on the way to school and that's really special.
Mm-hmm. Rachel, what do you think about those family values?
Well, it's unbelievable. It's fun to see that you have patterned and crafted to do just that. You know the target of where you want your kids to be, and you know what you're aiming at. And so you're going to focus on that. And then in everything you do throughout your day and how you parent, you're going to be pointing towards that target, which is pretty incredible. So I don't think any of them were that much of a stretch. I like the Martins acronym. That was really good. Well, you mentioned earlier when you were talking about Linkier that through that process and working with 18 18 and 19 year olds, which are a little bit ahead of where your kids are now, but that you had learned so much about discipline and you worked through lots of trials and hard times with a lot of the Linkier students. I'd love to hear a little bit about your heart of discipline and through Linkier, what you learned about in regards to getting to walk with your kids, to disciple them and to discipline them.
You know, discipline, I think there's a lot of weight that comes with that word, you know, and often we revert back to our experience with our parents, right? And you know, we either walk away with that with a very positive view of like, wow, they handled that really well. I want to model that, or I want nothing to do with the way my parents disciplined me or the lack of engagement altogether, you know, like whatever it may be. So a lot of these kids, you know, young men, young women were coming into Linkier with very, very different experiences. And so there were several resources. There's a professional counselor up in Kansas City who, you know, recommended several resources that were so valuable for me to help explain, especially at the beginning of the year, here's our heartbeat, here's our goal, here's what we're trying to accomplish, and here's our why. You know, when you come into my office and we have a disciplined conversation, you made a decision, right, to obviously go against what we said was allowed or not allowed, right, at Linkier. Right. And now at the very beginning of the year, I'm going to present to you the consequences of that action. Right. So at the very beginning of the year, if you decide it is your choice to choose to live within the guidelines or to choose to live outside those guidelines. Right. And if you indeed choose to live outside those guidelines, there's consequences. Mm-hmm. Right. You coming to my office is not Adam Martin punishing you, because that's a lot of what our students like. Oh, I messed up. Now I get punished. Right. And my punishment is whatever he decides. No, that's not how it goes. You choose the consequence. And so now I get to come alongside that student in empathy saying, hey, I'm really sorry you chose that, because there's a big difference between consequences and punishment. Right? If it's predetermined with my boys, hey, if you don't turn in your assignments at school, I just had this conversation with Trent, my oldest, a couple weeks ago. If you decide to not turn in those assignments, you didn't think they were a big deal or whatever it may be, right? There's consequences for those actions, right? If I decide to not return an email to one of the owners, right, in my business, then there's going to be natural consequences to that. Mm-hmm. They don't turn around and punish me for that. They just decide to take their business elsewhere. That's a natural consequence of me not being responsive, right? And so for him, if I'm not going to turn this in, the natural consequence is you're going to get a low grade, but there's also going to be consequences for not being excellent, right, in what you've been asked to do at our house, which is an expectation, right? And so for him and I to talk through what those consequences would be, right? And now if he were to get to turn an assignment, it's not like, oh no, dad's punishing me. It's, oh yeah, we talked about this. I get to operate in that consequence that we already agreed upon.
Yeah.
Right? And so I get to come alongside him in empathy and like, buddy, I'm really sorry you chose that, right? And now as a dad, I get to be consistent in that, right? And yes, there's moments where I get to show grace, right? And get to come alongside him in love and grace, but certainly not enable him and say, oh, no consequences. I'm stripping the weight off the bar. I know life is heavy right now, so I'm going to make it super easy for you. That is not the goal. That in my opinion, in so many ways, does way more detriment to the child than it does ever like helping them feel the weight. Yes, 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 yes. Helping them feel the weight of their consequences, which they absolutely will begin to feel once they leave your home. And so me training my kids to understand there are consequences for your actions at a young age is so important. And the book that this guy named Ken Howard that gave me this resource, Parenting with Love and Logic, it's by Foster Klein and Jim Fay. And it really does a great job outlining the difference between discipline and punishment and the heartbeat behind how we are to discipline our kids and being able to come alongside them with empathy versus, oh, you messed up, I'm super frustrated, and you know, here's the punishment for your actions.
Yeah, it's such a small, I think, nugget of wisdom right there, of just in many ways empowering for parents and freeing, that you can lay out for your kids what you hope for them and what you hope and how that they would make choices. And then in some ways you get to run with them. And when they make a great choice, you can celebrate that. And then when they don't make some great choices, it gives you, like you said so well, that empathy to go, this hurts my heart with you. I'm going to walk with you. We're going to walk through this. I'm sad you picked this choice. And now we're going to navigate this consequence that you picked with that too. And then empowering for the kids that they get to realize I really do have control over those choices and helping them to navigate and making a good choice and being wise in that. Adam, there's so much more I think that we could talk to you about in regards to parenting and discipline and all kinds of things, but leave our listeners with another parenting nugget, just something that you're excited to pass on to encourage parents.
I think one of the other things, I appreciate you asking, one of the other things that really helped me, especially early on, was the why of discipline, right? My dad, at the end of the day, if I think back, really just wanted an obedient son. Right. And that's why he was very, very strict. He disciplined very consistently. There was a very clear expectation. At the end of the day, he wanted an obedient son. Right. And there's a book called Child Training Tips. I think you're very familiar with it, Rachel. It's a wonderful book. And it, in my opinion, early on when I was a parent, really helped me understand the why. And I remember I would talk about this often with my Link Year students as well. Here's why we do this. Here's why this is so important to us. Right. If I tell my 5-year-old daughter, I don't want you to run across the street. And there's consequences if you disobey, right? Because when they're young, there's not a lot of, you don't need to understand the why. You just need to understand there's consequences for your actions. Later in life, I will reason with my 10 and 13-year-old, here's why, I want you to understand the why. But early on, it's basically just obedience, right? And if she were to disobey, there's consequences for those actions. Because the reality is she has a will, and her will is to run out in the street to go with the neighbors. Her will, her desire is to go do whatever she wants to do. But the reality is there's a loving father who knows what's best for her, who gives her these restrictions, right? And if she disobeys that, there's going to be consequences. And so learning to submit her will to a father who loves her and knows what's best for her at a young age, right, is so important, because when they turn 18, right, and they're outside of my home, and they now have the ability. I think there were so many kids that came through Link Here that did not have the ability, because they were never trained to submit their will to someone who loves them and knows what's best for them. And that's why there were so many issues, in my opinion, with their relationship with the Lord, because they couldn't submit their fleshly desires ultimately to a heavenly father who loves them and knows what's best for him. Like, the Lord is calling me to purity. The Lord is calling me to obedience. The Lord is calling me to these areas that ultimately will bring freedom and life, mm-hmm. right? But I don't have the ability to submit to my fleshly desires because I was never trained as a kid to understand there's consequences for my actions when I don't. And so early on, just learning the why behind discipline was so valuable for me. Of this is why it's so important for me to be consistent as a dad, for me to be consistent in discipline, to actually follow through with those consequences, for to allow my kids to fail in those areas so they do learn those lessons, so that hopefully, prayerfully, one day when they leave my home, right, that they are able to submit their will to a heavenly father's will who loves them and knows what's best for them.
That is so great. Our buddy Shay Robbins spoke a fantastic sermon before Christmas, and the theme of his sermon was God knows best. Mm. And that has stuck with me. God knows best. He was talking about living through tragedy and how you live through pain, sorrow, suffering, and loss. And he just kept saying, knowing that God knows best. And Adam, as parents, those formative years, teaching them that God knows best. Mm. And now as adults, to be able to live with that in our lives, where we trust God no matter what, yes, for obedience, but also, yes, for an attitude of joy and trust when things are difficult in life. Mm. Great yeah. nugget.
Amen.
Glad you asked for it, Rachel.
Absolutely. Adam, we are so grateful that you joined us. So grateful, honestly, for your example and how you've served this ministry. I'm so grateful to get to be your neighbor and get to continue to do life with you. But thanks for taking the time to join us today. Joe, would you close us today?
Wow, Rachel, I'd love to. What a great visit we've had with Adam. I've seen his wisdom acted out over the years around Kanakuk land, and I'm so thankful that every listener got to experience a little bit of Adam Martin today. Lord, we are thankful for the wisdom you've given Adam through your word and the wisdom you've given him through his experience. And Lord, I just pray that all the words that he spoke that would be from you would rest well on the ears of all that are tuned into the podcast today. God, thank you for being the author and perfecter of our faith, of our wisdom, and of our discipline. We trust you, God, because you know best. Amen. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Please subscribe to our podcast today to stay up to date with the latest episodes. If this podcast has helped you in any way, please consider rating us, writing a review, or sharing it with others so we can continue to build you up with an I'm Third approach to family, leadership, and spiritual growth. For more information about the podcast, visit kanakukpodcast.com. And for more information about Kanakuk, you can visit kanakuk.com.